Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good evening. And this is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I am just so excited on this evening with our Bible class that we're having on tonight with the study of the Word of God. I'm going to call our Bible study to order this evening. Excuse me. We're going to have a short devotion. We're going to have a song, read a scripture and pray, and then we'll get started with the study of God's word. But first of all, I want to just greet everyone in the powerful and mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this evening. I am in myself and the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. We are so delighted that you've chosen to worship with us on this evening and to study the Word of God. So we're going to have a short devotion right now, and then we'll get into the study of God's Word. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. Now, scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in him, in his law, doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I have just read you from Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come humbly before your throne of grace, Father, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we come on tonight. If we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord, we ask your forgiveness right now, Father. We ask you to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. If there is anything, Lord, in there that should not be, Father, we ask you to send the fire of God down tonight and burn it out in the name of Jesus. We ask you tonight, Father, to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind on this evening. Father, we come right now, Lord, asking you tonight to bind up the strong man, Father. Bind the strong man up tonight, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you tonight, undolable, to bind up the strong man in the name of Jesus. Every negative and evil thing and every wicked and demonic thing, Lord, we ask you on tonight to bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And loose us, Lord, from anything, Lord, that's not like you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we'll be careful now to give you the praise and the glory and give you all the honor in the name of Jesus. We come right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, asking you right now, Lord, to let me get back and decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase tonight and teach your people on tonight. Father, 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 I'm asking you on tonight to bless everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, those that's in radio land, those, Lord, that's on our radio broadcast, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to bless Apostle Deans tonight, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I ask you right now, and I'll bind up every affliction that try to come against him, in the name of Jesus. I bind every affliction spirit, every spirit of sickness. You got to go right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, you never call out of the in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, to cover his mind. Cover his thoughts right now in the shed blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we bind any attacks of the enemy. I know that in the name of Jesus. Every attack that try to get to him, Lord, I'm asking you to bind it tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the praise. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you tonight. I know for allowing us to study your word on tonight. Cover our minds, Lord, and our thoughts in the shed blood of Jesus. on tonight, Lord. We thank you. We thank you now. Hallelujah. We thank you now for lifting heavy burdens in the name of Jesus. We thank you now for breaking every yoke, every soul tie tonight in the name of Jesus. I'm deliver. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you now to put a hedge of protection around him right now, now, Lord. Now, Lord, put it around him now, Lord. Right where he is, right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, no weapons formed against him. Shall prosper. No weapon, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes. I bind the enemy. 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 I bind him right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Healing on tonight. Thank you for deliverance on tonight. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll be careful tonight to give you all the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor tonight, Father. In Jesus' name. And for your glory. Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Amen and amen. And thank God on tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready to begin our study of our word on the word of God on tonight. We're over in Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. And we were studying over there the other night. So tonight is Monday. He was over there Friday. So we almost done with that part of it. But we're going to start right here at verse 8. And we're talking about the vision of the branch. We're talking about the vision of the branch. How now? Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. My servant, the branch, is a marvelous picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The branch is a familiar figure of the Messiah. Isaiah used the figure to predict his first coming as Savior. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. That's Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Wait just 1 second. Okay. And Jeremiah used it to speak of Christ's coming as king to this earth. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That's Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. God is here addressing Joshua right now. And his fellow priests. Now what is the message? He's given them the loopholes, paraphrase of verse 8. provides the answer. I should not let you, Joshua, and your fellow priests be removed from office, nor your office be discontinued. For I have a destiny for you. You are a type of coming of the coming Messiah, who will do my work perfectly, which is just a servant. It's a servant, and who will bring the priestly office to undreamed of glory when he springs forth, when he springs forth. So they just really talking about when Christ comes, the coming of Christ. That's what they're talking about, the coming of Christ. And he's going to shoot forth or spring forth. Number 9 says, for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua up on one stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, said the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. The branch is also the stone which Daniel saw in the vision of the great image. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That's Daniel chapter 2, 34 and 35. Upon one stone shall be 7 eyes. 7 is not the number of perfection, but the number of completeness. The 7 eyes indicate that Christ has complete knowledge and wisdom. In the New Testament, it is said of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians chapter 2, 3. And the Lord Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, because he is all wisdom. He's an all-knowing God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Has that happened in our day? No, it certainly has not happened yet, but it will happen in the future. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he will remove the iniquity of Israel in one day. Because you know it don't. And you know what one day is to the Lord. It's like 1,000 years in one day. So, and it don't take God long to do anything. It really doesn't. He could do it in one half of a fraction. He can do it because he's God. Yeah, he's God. Verse 10 says, in that day, said the Lord, I wish everybody would put their phones on mute because I'm trying to teach and I'm hearing talking in the background. I don't know where it's coming from. In that day, said the Lord of hosts, shall ye carry every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree.
Yeah.
Okay, I had to mute everybody myself then.
What's that, Ma?
Just 1 second, everyone, because I can't concentrate. Oh, Lord. Anyway, amen. In that day, said the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Okay. Amen. It says, in that day refers to the day of the Lord. Shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree, means that they will be dwelling in peace and enjoyment in that day. Amen. So we're talking about the vision of the branch. That was about the vision of the branch. And the branch was spoken of in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and in Daniel. And that's why I was saying before Zechariah is like the book of Revelation in the Old Testament, because it also talks about the second coming of Christ. Now chapter 4 talks about the vision of the lampstand and the two olive trees. So we have come now to Zechariah's seventh vision. It's the seventh vision. Thinking back over the visions he has had, we can see a story unfolding here. He has seen the rider under the myrtle trees, the four horns, the four smiths or carpenters, the man with the measuring line, Joshua and Satan, and then the branch, stone with seven eyes in it. The first four visions symbolizes the outward deliverance from the slavery and oppression of Babylon. That's the first four visions. The visions also look to the end times when Israel again will be scattered throughout the world as they are today, then return to their land when the Lord Jesus brings them back. The fifth and the sixth vision symbolizes inner salvation. The high priest Joshua, clothed in dirty garments, which God replaced with clean garments, tells the story of a people brought back to the land for a purpose, but they couldn't be used in their sin. They will have to be cleansed, but they cannot cleanse themselves, and their religion won't do it. The cleansing has to come from someone outside themselves. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that's Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 18. God himself provides the redemption with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spots. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 19. The cleansing is actually salvation, not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Now that Joshua, the high priest, is cleansed, you may think that he is ready for service. No, he's not. Not quite. We come now to the vision of the golden lampstand, which is going to show us how Joshua is to fulfill the office of a high priest. A lot of times, that's why a lot of times I call for fasting. I call for fasting. Because we have to do what it takes to get where God needs us to be. Now, we have this retreat coming up the last, the 28th, 29th, and 30th of the month. And some of the women in the end time, men and women of war, will be working at like the altar and ministering and doing other things. They will be ministering and doing whatever it takes. We'll have a prophetic foot washing and different things like that. And when I tell you, they are really going to have to fast. Because just as sure as the people show up, the ladies show up, Satan going to show up too. So we got to be prepared. We have to be prepared. So that's why I call fast. And you know how you need to fast. You pray and ask God, because I've already started. So I got to stay with it until that day. And when that day comes, and the Lord, he'll give me strength. Amen. But we're talking about the vision of the lampstand and the two olive trees. And this is Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, and it reads, "And the angel that talked with me came again and walked and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep." And see, let me call your attention again to the fact that Zechariah was awake when he received these visions. At this point, he already has had six tremendous visions. He was working the swing shift and the night shift, and it was time to have a little rest. So after he had been given the six visions, he dozed off. Now the angel has to wake him up, because he is not to be given this vision in a dream. He will see every bit of it in the vision. "And said unto me," this is a verse 2, "What seest thou?" And let me just respond to the first verse. A lot of times the Lord will wake us up. You all know that, in the middle of the night, however. And we might have had a dream or two. But, hey, he might want you to be up in a vision, and he'll show you a vision. However God does it, he know his purpose and plans that he has. So, and said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereof, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof." The word candlestick in the Authorized Version is properly translated lampstand. Because this is the seven branched lampstand which stood in the holy place of the tabernacle. And it would be later in the temple they're going to put in the temple. And in our day, it is one of the symbols of the national or the nation Israel. It's a symbol. There are other symbols of this nation which are used in scriptures. It's a lot of symbols, especially in the book of Revelation, such as the burning bush. That's in Genesis, the vine and the olive tree. But here it is in the menorah, and we know what that is, the lampstand. And the menorah is like, it has one stand, and it has maybe seven candles on this thing. And I know most of you all know what a menorah is. And in the tabernacle, and later in the temple, the seven-branch lampstands was the most beautiful of the pieces of furniture. It was hand-wrought of solid gold. Basically, the skilled artisan was the one who fashioned it originally. There were three branches going out on each side of it, of the main stem. And on top of each were bowls beautifully made like open almond flowers in which the lamps were placed. Now, these, what they're talking about, got a lampshade on them. But the ones up today that you can get, they don't have a shade on them unless it, I just haven't seen them. But I haven't seen any with a shade on them. And maybe they have them because I haven't never been in a Jewish synagogue. So I don't know what's in there, but I know the ones that I've seen doesn't have a shade on them. The high priest had charge of the lampstand. He would light the lamps and keep them filled with oil. Also, it was his business to trim the wicks and to see that they burn continually. In the book of Revelation, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, walking in the midst of the lampstand, which represents the seven churches in Asia Minor. He warned them that if they didn't repent of their sins, he will remove their lampstand. And he did just that. In modern Turkey today, not one of those churches is in existence. They all lie in ruins today. Christ removed their lampstand. And in our own land, our great high priest has closed the doors of many churches, which was not giving out of the word of God. Our Lord has a snuffer, and he just snuffed them out. And here in Zechariah's vision, the picture is the nation Israel, represented by the menorah, which will in the future become a witness for God in the world, with a bowl up on the top of it. This is something new, which is added that you don't find in the instructions given to Moses for fashioning the original lampstand. Here, there is a bowl which acts as a reservoir or an oil tank over the seven lamps so that the oil flows by the gravity into the lamp from the elevated bowls. The oil is the all-important factor in the vision. The oil is. The lampstand speaks of Christ. The lamps with the oil in them speaks of the Holy Spirit. We have no better picture of the Holy Spirit than the oil of the lampstand. I didn't picture it like that, but I can picture it in my mind, in my spirit mind, because the lamps had they have to burn continually, so the oil has to run continually, and the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit now, I thought anyway, who am I? But I guess the Holy Spirit is symbolic of some a few things, because I would say to me, the Holy Spirit is symbolic of fire, of the wind, you know, and now the oil. So, you know, it just, I guess that's just the way it is, because we don't really know how fire, what fire is, and how it's not me, how it in the wind, we don't know how it comes and how it pushes around. You can't see it. And the oil, how it just runs and runs, and I don't even, you know, a lot of things that God has in the Word of God that's almost like a mystery, and it's symbolic of different of things or people. It's amazing. And it all fits. It all fit right in there to me, because when you put that that blessed oil on, a lot of times it's your faith. By faith, it happens. Things happen. And God, and you can just put that oil on, or you can anoint somebody with it. And with your faith, and maybe the person, if they have faith, but you have to have enough faith for the person in order for God to move and do what he says he's going to do, and he'll do just that. So, and even over there in Acts, the day of Pentecost, when the wind came in, when the Holy Ghost came in, like a rushing mighty wind, you know, God used that. So it's just amazing how he does things, how he do those things. It's awesome. It's an awesome thing. So, and the light, which is given to represent Christ, he is the light of the world. The lampstand probably presents the most complete picture of Christ that the symbolism of the tabernacle gives to us. And I just can see it. I can just see it, picture it, imagine it. The measurement of the lampstand was not given because it is impossible to measure deity. It was fashioned in a very wonderful way with open almond blossoms at the top, into which the little lamps are placed after they had been filled with the oil and their wicks trimmed. And I'm definitely want to see one, because it sounds like a beautiful, like I say, I know I have a menorah, but it doesn't have the oil running into them, you know, continually. I bet that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord Jesus was preparing to leave this earth, he told his disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit, adding, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he should not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. With that in mind, look at the lampstand. The lampstand supports the lamp with the light shining from them, and the light in turn reveals the beauty and glory of the lampstand. That's awesome. Mm. In just such a way, the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself, but he reveals the glory and the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lampstand represents the Lord Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Verse 4, hallelujah. And the two olive trees by it, one up on the right side of the bowl and the other up on the left side thereof. The two olive trees were identified in Zechariah's day. Zerubbabel, who was the king in the line of David, is one of the olive trees. The other olive tree was Joshua, the high priest. They would be the two instruments God would use to bring light back into the nation Israel and to make them a light to the world. The olive oil, as I've always already indicated, the word in Hebrew is beautiful. Golden oil represents the Holy Spirit. This prophecy is also destined for a future day. The Great Tribulation period, clearly identified for us in the book of Revelation. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks, which is the lampstands, standing before the God of the earth. Revelation 11, chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. In the Great Tribulation period, there will be no witness on the earth because the Antichrist, with the power of Satan, since God withdraws his hand for that brief moment, will have stopped the mouth of every witness on the top side of the earth, with the exception of the two. God says that always in the mouth of two witnesses, a thing is established. As God says, he would never leave himself without a witness. During that period, there would be these two men who will witness for him. Who they are, we don't know. It's like a speculation. I don't know. Some people think it's Elijah, maybe one of them. But whether the other is Enoch, Elijah, or whether there's Moses, whoever it is, I don't know who it is, but their identity is not the important thing. God will have two witnesses, and they will speak in the power of the Holy Spirit in that day. That's the most important thing, that God have his two witnesses. And they will be God's witness, and that is his promise for the future, just as he used Zerubbabel and Joshua. In Zechariah's day, he's going to use those two in that day. Although these visions of Zechariah had a local fulfillment for the past, they also look forward to the future. The complete fulfillment will be during the millennium period, when God will return the Jewish people to the land of Israel, and God will cleanse them in that future day. In chapter 13 of Zechariah, we will find that a fountain will be opened for the cleansing of David's offspring and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And after they have been cleansed, they will become a light to the world, which was God's original intention for them, over in Deuteronomy 32 and 8. We will read this remarkable verse. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Why did he arrange the nation according to the number of the children of Israel? The reason is that God intended them to be his witnesses. The land of Israel is a very sensitive piece of real estate, and God has chosen it and made it that way. He chose it because it was the very center of the three major continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe. It is right on the crossroads of those three continents. There is no place on earth that is more sensitive or that has caused more international problems than that little spot. In Ezekiel 5:5, we read these words. Thus said the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set in it the midst of the nations and countries that are around about her. Why? So she could be a witness. And in that future day, there will be a witness in every corner and crevice of this world. You know, God is just an awesome God. I'm telling you, he's just an awesome God. And I don't know if you all understand what I'm reading and what I'm saying and responding to these verses and things. I don't know if you understand, but all of it is over in the book of Revelation and Daniel. They repeat themselves. And it's just God is trying to let us understand and see that what he's saying is coming all together, because I remember it's about, I guess about 8 years ago, I was somewhere at some church, and an apostle, a bishop, he stood up and he said, we're going to, and this was longer than that because it was before Obama got in office, and he said that the Lord has showed him that there would be a black president. I just didn't know in my mind what black president, what black man would be president of the United States. I just couldn't even think nothing like that. And then he said after the black president, we was going to have a woman president. And then he said after that, it will be the Antichrist will come. So far, he's been right. So far, he's right. So we better pay attention here, cause when Hillary get in there, I don't know how many years she gonna stay in, but after she get out, we're gonna get some mess. I'm telling you, and I think it's coming out of Germany. That's where I think he's coming from. Anyway, we're going to go to chapter 4, verse 4. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Zechariah had no inhabitation, so he says, I see these things, but what is the meaning of them? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. The answer of the angel implies that Zechariah should know what it means. In effect, he is saying, you ought to be able to understand it. You are looking at the golden lampstands, and you ought to know the meaning of that. Well, Zechariah didn't, and he said, no, my Lord. I don't understand it at all. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Notice that this is God's message to Zerubbabel. Now, who is Zerubbabel? He is serving as the civil head of Jerusalem. While Joshua is serving as the religious head, he was serving as the civil head. He was the head of the tribe of Judah at the time of their return to Jerusalem after the 70-year captivity in Babylon. He is the one who led the first group of his people back to their homeland, as described in the book of Ezra. Zerubbabel's great work was the rebuilding of the temple, but the work was dogged by danger from the outside. Computer went off. I'll just give me a minute. And what they was doing was trying to discourage him. And God is giving this vision to strengthen the faith of Zerubbabel. It was real meaning for him, and also it contained a great principle for you and me. This is crazy. Okay. Now this message. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The words might and power are quite interesting. Might is a general word for human resource, such as physical strength. Okay, it's got this thing back going. Physical strength, human ability, or efficiency, or wealth. Power also denotes mere human strength, physical, material, and mental strength. Therefore, let me give you my translation in this verse. It is not by bronze or nor by brain, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. You can see that this would be a great encouragement to Zerubbabel, the civic lead, civil leader, ruler. He and Joshua, the religious ruler, were represented by two olive trees who were supplying oil to the lampstand. The lampstand is Jesus Christ. Symbolic. The message is simply this. It would not be by your cleverness, nor your ability, or your physical strength that the temple will be rebuilt, but by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not in our enterprise today that will come to naught because God is not carrying on his work by our brain or bronze. We speak of clever preachers who deliver very well-composed sermons and all of that, but God's work is carried on that way. Sometimes a clever preacher or bishop or apostle or whoever it is a dangerous man or a woman. The fellow who is sharp mentally may be sharp in the wrong direction. It can cause a great deal of difficulty among God's people. And we have to really be careful. So many things, and it's a lot of things going on, and it's a lot of things ahead that's going to happen. Believe me, it's a lot of things that's coming. It's going to happen. I have never, ever, and I don't look at, I'm not political, and I'm not nothing like that, but I have never seen this kind of stuff getting a president. I have never. It's just, it reminds me in the Bible when they was trying to get a king and God allowed them to get the king they say they wanted. Just like when Jesus was in jail, they chose Barabbas. You know, God allowed you to do stuff that you're going to remember the rest of your life. And a lot of this stuff going on now, it's going to mess us up so bad. We're not going to be, we got to, we need the Lord. We got to call on him. I don't know nothing else to do. We need God in every way. We need God because there's so many things. And I don't look at TV that often, but when I do, I was on my laptop this morning, and it was saying something about Bank of America is warning people, and something is about a recession with them. So if they having a recession, then they're going to lock that money down at the wild. They warning folk now. You're going to go to the bank, you're going to be able to get $30, $40 out. So, you know, we have to pay attention, be looking, by observing things. You have to because you need to keep up with what's going on because you know that happened over in Europe and places like that. The banks wouldn't let any money out. They gave every family $30, $40, you know, to even do whatever else they had to do until something happened. I don't know what was going on, but we have to be careful with what's going on. We have to be careful. So we stopped at Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And it's talking about the olive trees. And we're going to stop right there, though, because we've got about 3 or 4 minutes. I want you all to start and let me know if you understand because I'm just talking. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, it's not doing me any good to do it. I want to make sure you all understand that Zechariah is a prophet, and just like you all are. So I need to know. That's why God had me teaching on these prophets. He just giving me stuff to teach that all go together, just like Zechariah, Daniel, and the book of Revelation. So we'll know, but we need to know this. Everything that the Lord have me teaching, we need to know. The Holy Spirit teaching, we need to know. We need to know, and I read all the time. So it sometimes surprises me how God, the Holy Ghost, can put this stuff right together and connect. I understand it because He's using me to teach it. He's teaching through me, and I understand it very well. So I thank and praise God tonight for just the opportunity to teach and understand what I'm doing and saying. So I give God praise on tonight. I'm not going to hold you all, and like I said, we having our retreat the end of the month, and I'm praying that all of us could go, could be in attendance. I'm just praying and hoping, you know, and that God does what He do best, because we all need it. And the ones in Radio Land, if you wanna come to the retreat, it's going to be just a blessing at the retreat. I'm telling you, relaxation, and it's going to be such a blessing. You will be renewed. God's going to renew, restore, and refresh at this retreat. It's going to be awesome. So I'm just asking everyone, you know, just to pray about it. And the ones that want to go need to contact me for registration forms. And my number is 314-299-0920. That's 314-299-0920. And I will give you all the information for it. Amen. So we're going to get ready to close out here now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you on tonight. We praise you on tonight, Father. We give your name glory on tonight. We magnify your holy name. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Ghost and Him teaching us, the Holy Spirit and Him teaching us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the understanding, letting us understand your word. Thank you for covering our minds and our thoughts in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just give you praise for opening up your word with us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you praise. I magnify your name on tonight, Lord. I ask you to bless everyone that's up under the sound of my voice that can hear my voice on tonight. I ask you to keep them covered, Father, everywhere they go, Lord, at all times, and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Bless their families, every family that's represented, Lord, in radio land and here on the broadcast, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless Apostle Deans again, Lord. Bless his body, Father. Bless his thoughts in the name of Jesus. I lift him up to you, Lord. I lift him up to you today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And all these things, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. And for your glory, we praise you. We ask it all. Amen. Amen. You all are dismissed. God bless you. I love you, and God love you, too. You all have a good evening. Amen. Amen. Thank you.